morning, I invite you to open up your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 5. This morning, we are looking specifically at the section that addresses husbands, verses 25 through 33. Before Easter, before Good Friday, we focused in on the call for wives to submit to their husbands, and Paul uses the analogy of the church and Christ, and now he continues on with his instruction for husbands, using that same analogy of the church and Jesus Christ. Before we turn our attention to God's word this morning, let's ask him for his blessing. Please pray with me. Our Father in heaven, as we open up your word together, please give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that we may know you better. We pray also that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened in order that we may know the hope to which you have called us, the riches of your glorious inheritance in the saints, and your incomparably great power for us who believe. May the words of my mouth and the meditations and thoughts of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5, I'm going to begin reading with verse 15, just to give us a little bit of context. And as we do so, let's pay careful attention, because this is God speaking his word to us. Ephesians 5, beginning with verse 15, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives, as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our Lord remains forever. People of God, this is a challenging passage. How do you preach on a passage telling husbands to love their wives when it's something you yourself have failed at? How do you do that without being a hypocrite? I need to hear what's being said here just as much as the next guy, maybe even more. I haven't loved my wife like Christ has loved the church, not even close. We might think, well, what right does he have to talk about husbands loving their wives? You can think about Paul, who wrote this letter. Sure, he was an apostle, but he wasn't even married. What does Paul know about loving your wife and the sacrifice it takes? We might think, what right does he have to talk about husbands loving their wives? What we see here, Paul's teaching here, isn't based on experience. Because what Paul is doing is he is applying the gospel to our relationships. The gospel that he has spent the first part of this letter explaining, he's now practically and very specifically applying that gospel to the relationship between husband and wife, children and parents, servants and masters. This morning, it's not Paul's word or my word, but rather God's word that we hear. It's the gospel, and it confronts us in our failures. And it hurts. It highlights our need for Jesus Christ. And then it instructs us and enables us to live lives of thankfulness to Christ. Specifically here, living lives of love for our wives as husbands. Our theme this morning is that Christ loved us as his church, as his body, and he gave himself up for us. And it's out of that gospel truth that husbands are now called, commanded to love their wives. Husbands, love your wives. Love your wives as Christ loved the church, first of all. Husbands, love your wives as you love yourself, secondly. And third, husbands, love your wives as you were created to love. And so first, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Verse 25 in Ephesians chapter 5, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So here, we are being commanded as husbands to love our wives as we have been loved by Christ. And the command is for an unconditional agape love for the wife, a love that is given and not earned. Unconditional love. Husbands, and those of you who hope to be husbands someday, the truth that we are confronted with this morning here is that your wife or future wife isn't going to be able to earn or deserve the amount of love you here in God's word are being commanded to give her. An unconditional, self-sacrificing, sanctifying love for her, your wife. You're not loving her because of what she's done for you or because she has earned it or deserved it. You're loving her out of your obedience to the Lord because of Christ's love for you. It's so easy for love to become conditional, for the love between a husband and wife to slip into that, while you did this for me, I'll do this for you, conditional kind of love. And what we're being reminded of this morning, each and every one of us, is that love here is unconditional. The love that Christ has for us is unconditional, and we are called and commanded to have that same unconditional love for our wives, not because of who they are or what they've done, or because they're so loving, but because of the love that Christ has for us. Now as we try to grasp this meaning of love, the love that Paul is talking about here in Ephesians chapter 5, what we need to keep in mind is that biblical love within a husband and wife relationship here is very different from the love our culture talks about. The love that we hear about in movies or on the radio or read about in novels or magazines. In our society, love is something that is passive. You have no control over it. You fall into love, right? It happens to you. It's passive, it's involuntary, it just happens. It's referred to in the passive voice. I fell into love, or I hope to someday fall into love. That romantic feeling, or as the Greeks would say, that eros love, it's held as the ultimate standard of love. But here in our passage, Paul is talking about a completely different type of love. Not the eros, romantic love, but the agape love. The ultimate standard of love, the love that is found in God himself, the love that moved God to send his one and only son to give up his life for us, his bride. And that's the love this morning that we are commanded as husbands to have for our wives. You love her. Command. Husbands, love your wives. Well, wait a second. Our culture is going to say, how, you can't command someone to love. That's something that just happens to you. But when it comes to biblical love, it's a verb. It's an action. It's a decision. It's obedience. Love with the same love that Christ has had for you. And Paul presents that bottom line by drawing two parallels between Christian spouses, husbands and wives, and Christ and the church. He's done it with the wives already, and now he's also using that as his analogy or illustration for the husbands. The measure of love that is presented to the husbands. If you want to know what this love looks like or what kind of love that Paul is talking about, he's saying, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Now, we know that that is an astounding and astonishing level of love, because Scripture is clear about the love of Jesus Christ and what it looks like. We just celebrated Good Friday and Easter. The Son of God gave up himself. That's Christ's love. He offered his life for her life, the bride, his church. Ephesians 26, looking at the next verse, or Ephesians 5, verse 26, reminds us that Christ's bride needs to be sanctified, to be cleansed with the washing of water in the Word, so that he might present the church, his bride, to himself with splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. And then you get to verse 28, and you see those words, in the same way, husbands should love their own wives. What this means is that husbands are to love their wives in a Christ-like way, like Christ loves the church, in a way that helps encourage and promote Christ's purposes in their life in a Christ-like fashion for the good of their own wives. The love of Christ for his bride, a bride made up of sinful men and women, that gives us an example of the disposition that a husband should have for his wife, the orientation that should inform all of his thoughts and all of his words and all of his actions. And husbands, brothers, as you feel the weight of this calling, as you think about what this command means for you, it's helpful for us to ask some questions as we examine our hearts. In the book, The Gospel-Shaped Marriage, Chad and Emily Van Dixhorn give some questions to examine our hearts. And here are those questions. Are you loving her with all that you are and all that you have? In other words, do you, like Christ, love your wife deeply, sacrificially, purposefully, and faithfully? Are you praying for her and learning about her so you can pray for her even better? Is your prayer really for her, or is it for you? How have those prayers been answered? Are you leading devotions that benefit her? Are you trying to study the Bible and Christian doctrine so that what you say will be thoughtful and useful? Does she know that you love her? Now, to do these things, to pray in this way, and to do it and pray more and more, what we need to be willing to do is to let go of anything that gets in the way. Let go of the many other things that we ourselves hold on to or think are so important to our lives. We need to let go of anything that could keep us from holding on to our spouse like we should. Just like Christ gave himself up for us. That's how Christ loved the church. And that's the example that we are called to follow as husbands, as we love our wives. Now, Christ gave himself up for the church, as we see in our passage, so that he might sanctify her. We see verse 26, he gave himself up for the church that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water and the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. So why did Christ love the church and give himself up for her? Verse 26 through 27 tells us that the goal of Christ's love and self-sacrifice for the church is to sanctify her and ultimately present her as a bride to himself without blemish. Christ is washing, he is cleansing, he is purifying his church so that she can be his bride. And in the same way, husbands are called to love their wives as Christ loved the church. And the goal of this love is growth in holiness and sanctification. As we think about God the Father and his bride, his people, the church, you might remember in the Old Testament how God's people were referred to as his bride. You can think of the judges and how God's people were unfaithful. We remember that Israel was often the unfaithful spouse. In Ezekiel, the bride prostitutes herself with any passerby and pays for the service herself. And that sad story is the story of Israel's idolatry, her unfaithfulness. And here we have an example of Christ coming to purify his bride in order to present her pure and clean, gleaming with splendor, no spot, no wrinkle, no blemish, holy, without blemish. And it's Christ who's accomplishing this. He's the one who is accomplishing this within her because he loves her. And this is the example, this is the model for husbands and the example of the kind of love and devotion they are called to have and show to their own brides. Now, to state the obvious, it's not the husbands who are sanctifying their wives. It's Christ who sanctifies us. But husbands can be intentional in seeking what is good for their spouse. In love, especially intentional in her growth in grace. Husbands, Christ can and does use you as he fashions and molds your wife more and more into his image. You can encourage your wife to make full use of the means of grace, to be fed and nourished spiritually. You help her grow in her holiness. What our passage is saying this morning is that this kind of love, it's not just a mere duty. It's not just a one thing to do on our checklist of accomplishments. This love refers to a calling, a perspective, an orientation that characterizes everything that we do and how we do it. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, first of all. Secondly, husbands, love your wives as you love yourself. Paul gives multiple examples for the husbands, probably because we need them. The wives only got one example or illustration, and guys get three. Husbands, love your wives as you love yourself. Here we're told to love as Christ loved the church. And so in addition to loving your wives as Christ loved the church, we are given another analogy, another perspective of the love that we're called to have as husbands. And now Paul is saying you need to love your wife as you love yourself. Now typically, we are pretty good at loving and taking care of ourselves. That's something that we're fairly good at. Literally, what Paul is saying here to the husbands is that husbands are to love their wives like their own flesh. And it's a kind of play on words, because in a moment, Paul is going to say that the husband and the wife are called together as one flesh, united as one flesh. And so the play on words that's going on here is, husbands, you need to love her like your own flesh. And then he goes on to say that, as it turns out, you are one flesh, because you're united into one. And he's saying the same thing about Christ and his church. It's one body, Christ's body. And so in the same way, verse 28, husbands should love their wives. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Now this takes the command to love your neighbor as yourself to the next level, because now you are loving your wife as you love your own body. And that implies an intimacy and a connection between husband and wife that goes beyond any other human experience or relationship. And here's the point. If you are a married man, love your wife like you love yourself and then some. If you hope to be married someday, plan on loving your wife like you love yourself and then some. And how do we do this? We do this by living out 1 Corinthians 13, which we looked at earlier, by speaking gently, being patient, saying kind words. Because there's a chance that you might be wrong and you'll need to apologize for those words that you've said. Guard your time. Husbands, guard your time. It's easy for work to become our entire life. You know how absorbing your work can be. On the one hand, you're doing enough work so that you can feed and provide for your wife and your family. On the other hand, you don't do so much work that you can't care for them in all the other ways that they need your care. Protect your wife. Comfort her, encourage her, pray for her and with her each day. Husbands are to love their wives as they love themselves, which is all-encompassing. Now, of course, there's some people who don't take care of themselves. Paul's not referring to them. Here in Ephesians 5, it's healthy people that he's referring to as he's encouraging and explaining healthy marriages. So what should you do when you notice that something's not right, or notice that something's wrong or unhealthy in your spouse? Something is a problem and it can't be hidden. Well, what would you do if it was you? How do you care for yourself? When he was preaching on this passage in the city of Antioch, John Chrysostom reminded his hearers about what we do when our body needs help. We nurture the defective, the lame, and the ailing parts of our bodies. We don't cut off an injured leg. We favor it. We nurse it back to normal, back to health. We love our wives by doing the same for them when they are hurting, when there is a need. Now, this is hard work. This kind of selfless, sacrificial love is not easy, and it's not our natural response. We often lose our patience when the sinful patterns that we overlook in ourselves are exemplified in others. And that's probably why Paul keeps on bouncing back and forth between husbands and wives and Christ and the church and the relationship between Christ and the church. In giving himself up for us, Jesus Christ was taking care of his own body. Us. He was nourishing and caring for that which was his. And that's how husbands are to care for their own wives. That's the perspective that we are called to have as we love our wives, as we love ourselves, because we are one flesh, just like Christ and the church is one. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Husbands, love your wives as you love yourself. And third and finally, husbands, love your wives as you were created to love. That's our third and our final point, as you were created to love. Paul just told us as husbands to love our wives as we love our own bodies, our own flesh. And now he throws things all the way back to Genesis 2 by stating that husbands and wives are one flesh, just like Christ and the church are one body. Husbands are to love their wives because that's what they were created from the very beginning to do. And Paul reminds us in the book of Genesis that God considers husbands and wives one flesh. Remember that from the very beginning, husbands and wives were created to love each other. Husbands were created to love their wives as their own bodies, as Christ loved his own body, the church. Verse 31, therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Now think about this. Paul's quoting from Genesis 2, verse 24. Marriage, the leaving, cleaving, becoming one flesh, is a before the fall institution. In the perfection of the garden, before the fall into sin and the resulting pain and the brokenness and death, God said, it's not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. Before the serpent, before the temptation, before the curses, before sin and the curses, Genesis 2 verse 24 states, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Now why is Paul quoting that entire thing when he could have just said, and they shall become one flesh, in order to prove his point? He's quoting that entire passage, the therefore, because of this, for this reason, the origin of marriage, the institution of this union, this one flesh union between husband and wife, is pointing forward to and fulfilled in Christ and his relationship with the church. And before the coming of Jesus Christ, before we get to the New Testament, Christ and his body, the church, the reality that marriage was pointing to, that relationship between Christ and his church, his body, was a mystery. And that's why Paul is saying this mystery is profound. And I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church, and we're stuck thinking, wait a second, you were just talking about husbands and wives, and now you're saying that that refers to Christ and the church. How does the two becoming one back in Genesis 2 point forward to Christ and the church? What's the mystery here? And that's what Paul is saying. He's describing the gospel. He's describing the interplay of the reality between Christ and the church, and how marriage between a husband and wife is ultimately pointing to and fulfilled in Christ and his bride, the church. Husbands are to love as Christ loved his church. To love their wives as their own body. To love as they have been created to from the very beginning. And it's mysterious, as Paul is saying. This mystery is profound. talking about Christ and the church. He's going back and forth between the relationship of husband and wife and Christ and the church. And as we reflect on that this morning, there is something that is incredibly beautiful about the analogy that Paul is using here. And ultimately, we've taken a step away from the husband's here. It's not ultimately about the husband's duty, his command to love his wife, that Paul is finding so profound here. The mystery is that Christian marriage is given the honor of illustrating the gospel itself. What guilty person separated from God because of sin could ever hope that the Son of God would become man, human, for our sake? What sinner waiting for judgment and death could ever dream that someone else would obey in his place and die in his place? When you honestly consider how awful we are, how can our guilt be washed away? And the mystery is that somehow God loves us and sent his Son for us. The bewildering, crazy fact is that Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. And in that church are a bunch of sinners and losers and failures of all sorts, including husbands. This passage is hard. It confronts us in our failures. It highlights our need for Christ. There are homes where there has been way too little love. There are men who wake up one day and see that they've shown their wife impatience and harshness when they should have been comforting, when they should have been loving their wives half as much as they love themselves. There are dying husbands who finally realize what their foul tempers and impatience have done over all those years, the joy that it has stolen from their wives. Maybe you are a husband who realizes his sin and his failure to do what God has called us to do. Now what? What do we do? First, we repent. We ask for forgiveness humbly. And this is more than just saying you're sorry. Vindixhorn writes, say what it is that you have done. Use scriptural labels rather than the sanitized labels of our culture to describe sin. Don't say, sorry, I was grouchy. Say, please forgive me, I was selfish and impatient. Say it in detail. Say what you should have done instead. Admit the damage that you have done and the hurt that you have caused. And then take the next step, another hard step, and explain the way that you resolve to do now by God's grace. If you've sinned in front of others, repent in front of them, including your friends or even your children, and be patient as you wait for that forgiveness. We're not saying words in order to get something back in return. And so first is repenting. Second is remembering Christ's love for you, how he gave himself up for you for this sin, and celebrate that forgiveness, striving to love as he loved you. Celebrate the sacrificial love of Jesus Christ. Celebrate the gospel. Not the one you failed to show, but the love of Christ who saw the church as it really is and gave himself up for her. This morning, God's word confronts us in our failures. It highlights our need for Jesus Christ and how to love our wives as he has loved us. Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, and it's out of that gospel truth that husbands are commanded to love their wives as Christ loved the church, as you love yourself. and as you were created to love. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we come before you, Lord, confessing our shortcomings and our failures as husbands. Lord, we have not loved as you have loved us. We haven't loved our wives as Christ has loved the church, or as we have loved ourselves, or as you have created us to love. And for that, Lord, we are sorry. Lord, enable us by the power of your Spirit at work within us to love as you have loved us, to love sacrificially like Christ who gave himself up for us, to love our wives as our own bodies, as our flesh, because we are one flesh, and to love as you created us to love from the very beginning. Lord, we can't do this on our own. And we fail when we try, and that's why we need desperately Jesus Christ. The forgiveness found in Christ alone, the love that he has for us broken sinners, so that we can love as he loved us. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.